Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture this morning comes to us from Luke chapter 10, a familiar story. First, let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God, fill us with your word and give us understanding by your Holy Spirit, that having heard your word, we may live lives worthy of you and please you in what we say and do. We pray this in the name of the Christ. Amen. Our scripture passage is Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. I invite you to listen with fresh ears to what God is saying to the church today. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? The man answered, you shall love your Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sometimes don't you wish that Jesus would just answer the question? There's an old joke. A member of the synagogue approaches her rabbi and asks, why do rabbis always answer a question with a question? The rabbi ponders this for a moment and then says, so what's wrong with asking questions? The guy in our parable today asked his first question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus answered with a question, or really 2 questions. What is written in the law? What do you read there? Jesus gives the expert in the law both the opportunity to recount what is recorded in Scripture and also the chance to give his understanding of it as a learned person. Well, he correctly gives the commandments, but then, as the message paraphrase puts it, he looks for a loophole by asking, just who is my neighbor? He wanted a definition so he could know who he was to love. He knew the commandments. He knew he was to love God with everything he has, and he was to love neighbor as self. So then he needed to know just who was his neighbor so he could know who he was required to love. Of course, that's the problem. His question was a narrowing question. He wanted to know where he could draw the line around those he had to love. It's similar to when Peter asked Jesus how many times he had to forgive. 7 times, asked Peter? That's a lot of forgiveness. Surely that's more than enough. This expert in the law wants a definition, something like that one that Presbyterian minister Frederick Buechner humorously imagined. A neighbor hereinafter referred to as the party of the first part, is to be construed as meaning a person of Jewish descent whose legal residence is within a radius of no more than 3 statute miles from one's own legal residence, unless there is another person of Jewish descent, hereinafter to be referred to as the party of the second part, living closer to the party of the first part than one is oneself, in which case the party of the second part is to be construed as neighbor to the party of the first part, and one is oneself relieved of all responsibility of any sort or kind whatsoever. And that's not really stretching things too much from a common understanding of the day. When the expert in the law says that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, he's quoting from the second part of Leviticus 19, verse 18. The first part, however, says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear any grudge against any of your own people." It finishes with, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." But the clear intention is that your neighbor is someone of your own kind. This is what he wanted Jesus to affirm. I love my neighbor, and my neighbor is someone like me who lives just down the street. Right, Jesus? So the expert in the law wanted to limit who deserved his love. He wanted to limit for whom he was to be responsible. Asking who is my neighbor is really asking who is not my neighbor. And so as Jesus responded to Peter that 7 times is not nearly enough times to forgive, it's more like 70 times 7 times, and really the number is limitless. Jesus likewise responds to this expert in the law that he's asking the question all wrong when he asks, who is my neighbor? And Jesus doesn't answer that question. Instead, he tells a story, and it's a story with which most of our society is familiar. I think it's one with which perhaps we are a little too familiar in that we have lessened the parable's impact on us. We have belittled its meaning. We all know what a good Samaritan is. That's someone who helps out a stranger, right? And then we go and name things by this definition. Hospitals, social aid organizations, a camping club, even Good Samaritan Donkey Sanctuary in Australia. All of these things miss the point of the parable. The one who stops to help is not simply a stranger. Samaritans weren't strangers to the Jews. They were reviled enemies. The two groups had been feuding for over 600 years. The Samaritans once defiled the Jewish temple. Both groups claimed to follow the Torah, but each had different copies of it, and each claimed their slightly different version to be the accurate and authentic one. To call the one who stopped to help simply a kind-hearted stranger does not get across the point that Jesus made, which is that we must come to think of even our enemies as neighbors. In short, love your enemies. Love those who oppress you. Love those who harm you. Modern parallels abound. An Illinois fan might be asked to think of an Indiana fan as their neighbor. More seriously, a leader in Black Lives Matter might be asked to think of a leader in the KKK as their neighbor. Amy Jill Levine, noted scholar of the Christian scriptures, once was addressing an audience who had experienced the horrors of September 11th firsthand, and she suggested that they might be asked to think of a member of Al-Qaeda as their neighbor. That's what Jesus calls us to. I'm not sure I'm ready to go there just yet. So let's take it a few steps back. 2 weeks ago, just down the street from our church building, Todd Ledbetter, a man experiencing homelessness, was robbed and beaten to death. In his statement, Rob Dalhouse of See You at Home said of Todd, "We had the privilege of calling him a friend, walking alongside him and showing him grace and compassion when he was at his best or his worst. We will never forget him quoting scripture to our other friends and staff and countless interactions where he would encourage us while we were trying to uplift him." A friend of his said he would have given his last dollar away. Another friend described him as having a big heart. But forget all of that, though, for a moment. He was homeless. Or as CU at Home describes such people, one of our friends without an address. Just based on that one fact, would we call him neighbor? Would we stop to say hello? Would we even greet him with a smile? After all, our society calls people like him bums and worse. Jesus calls them neighbors. What about migrants? In this country, we have an ongoing conversation about borders, particularly our southern border. People are literally dying to get into this country. People have come from places of extreme violence and poverty, taking all kinds of risks to seek refuge in the United States. And our country's response is all too often to send them away or worse, separate them here. Would we call them neighbor? Would we stop to say hello? Would we greet them with a smile? After all, our society calls them illegals or worse. Jesus calls them neighbors. What about people protesting lately? We're having a renewed conversation about issues of racial justice in this country. People are going into the streets and often blocking traffic and doing other acts of civil disobedience. Would we call them neighbor? Would we stop to say hello? Would we greet them with a smile? After all, our society calls them agitators or worse. Jesus calls them neighbors. Now, all of those folks are people who our society has a debate about calling neighbor. Many of us have no problem at all loving those folks as neighbors, but some are not so sure. But here's where it gets a lot harder. To understand Jesus' parable, to find one who is more of a parallel to the Samaritan in Jesus' story, we've got to dig deeper. Can we think of the people that robbed and beat to death Todd Ledbetter as neighbor? Can we think of those who prey on migrants, those who have killed people crossing the border, as neighbor? Can we think of the police officer who kneeled on George Floyd's neck until he was dead as neighbor? That's the radical mercy that Jesus is calling us to. And that is the impossible command that we face. In a different story, Jesus shared another impossible command. His disciples replied, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Or as the Message paraphrase has it, the disciples asked, "Then who has any chance at all?" Jesus replied, "No chance at all if you think you can pull it off yourself. Every chance in the world if you trust God to do it." We don't have any chance on our own, but with God, all things are possible. With God, we turn from hate to love. As Dr. King preached, returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And so we love. We don't love actions and words of injustice and harm to others. We don't condone those actions, but we love individuals with the goal of loving them into better and better versions of themselves. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. This is not to excuse the actions of those who have harmed others. Justice for those who have been harmed and for those who have harmed is part of love. Cornel West reminds us, justice is what love looks like in public. Part of our love for neighbor is to stand up with them when they are experiencing injustice and to stand up to them when they are committing injustice. Our love for neighbor is good for all of us. If it is not, it is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Back to the expert in the law, he asked the wrong question to begin with. He asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" The verb is in a tense in Greek, which suggests a single action. The expert in the law wants something he can put on his to-do list, some simple thing he must do, check it off his list, and then eternal life is all his. Jesus' response shows that it's not so simple. Life lived Jesus' way is not something you can check off your to-do list. Jesus calls us to a way of living. I love that the early Christians called themselves followers of the way. A way of living, the way of living, is something we are rather than simply something we do. It affects everything we do. In the end of the parable, Jesus asked the expert in the law another question. His question is not a parallel for the original question asked of him, though it might seem so at first glance. The man asked, "Who is my neighbor?" And then Jesus asks a question that's not that well rendered in most translations. The NRV, which we read, says Jesus asked, "Which of these three was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The Message paraphrase, again, gets it more accurately. Which of these three became a neighbor to the man attacked by robbers? Hear the difference? Not which was a neighbor, but which became a neighbor. I think the difference there is that the Samaritan actively became a neighbor to a stranger who he was told he was supposed to hate. Until that chance encounter, he was not a neighbor to the man. In the act of recognizing this man's humanity, though, of helping him, of putting his needs before his own, the Samaritan became a neighbor to the man. And so we too have a choice in all of our actions with others to become a neighbor. It's not a fixed state of being. We aren't automatically neighbors to everyone, but we have the ability to become a neighbor. Our church's raindrop offering is one such chance. Over this month, we will learn more about the ministry of Frontera de Cristo, and I pray that you will take the opportunity to become a neighbor to those who need us. Learn more in the newsletter, from the video we will share next week, from their website, and then join your drops of rain with those of others as we become neighbors to those on the border. Then become a neighbor to those you encounter as you go about your days. Cross the boundaries that our world has erected between us. Reach beyond prejudice and bias and defy those who say we are to hate those not like us. We're called to go beyond just welcoming the stranger. That's just a starting point. We're called to become neighbors. Jesus said, go and do likewise. With God's grace, strength, and guidance, may we do so, sharing the love of God with all we encounter, loving them with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and all our mind. In the name of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.